Nancy DeMoss-Walgamuth believes spiritual growth is organic. It happens at a grassroots level.
Life on life, this is a biblical model. I can't disciple a woman who lives in Dubuque or Albany or Savannah or Mexico City, but women in her church can.
You're listening to the Revive Our Hearts podcast with the birthday girl, Nancy DeMoss-Walgamuth, author of Adorned, Living Out the Beauty of the Gospel Together. For September 3rd, 2021, I'm Deanna Gresh. Well, Nancy, today we do want to hear some of your vision for the future of Revive Our Hearts. But first, it's your birthday and it's Revive Our Hearts' birthday. So I think we should take a moment and celebrate.
Yeah, Deanna, this is a sweet day. And I'm so thankful to be able to celebrate 63 years of life and 20 years of Revive Our Hearts. It launched for the first time on September 3rd, 2001. And so each year I have this sweet opportunity to be reminded of what God has done and to anticipate what He has for us in the future.
Well, with your permission, I think we'll probably be celebrating all month long because 20 years for Revive Our Hearts is a pretty beautiful milestone.
It is, Deanna, and I couldn't be more grateful to have seen this child, shall we call it, growing up and to see the impact that God is using it to make in the lives of women all around the world.
It is truly all around the world. In fact, to help us celebrate, Danielle called from about one-third of the way around the world. She is in Uganda.
I want to wish you a very happy birthday, Nancy. You have influenced my life and ministry more than any other woman author. Nearly 20 years ago, you taught me how to replace lies with the truth. You helped me realize that I was believing the lie that I can't control my emotions. And my family is especially thankful to you for exposing that one. God has given me all the grace I need to walk in the Spirit. And over the past 15 years, I've been passing on your ministry of Revive Our Hearts to the women here in Uganda.
Danielle says the women she works with are well familiar with what she calls her Nancyisms, such as...
anything that makes you need Christ more is a blessing. Or choosing to not forgive is like drinking poison, expecting it to kill the other person. Or replace fear with faith. Or learn to control your emotions. Don't let your emotions control you. Or you can trust God to write your story. Or submission is a beautiful gift designed for our blessing and our benefit. Nancy, you have helped confirm the value of my role as a true woman. You've inspired me to be content to invest in my children and to become a spiritual mother to as many daughters as possible. I am so thankful that you and Revive Our Hearts walk alongside me as I pour into other women. Nancy, thank you for all the sacrifices you've made through the years to produce Revive Our Hearts. You are a blessing not only to me, but to hundreds of women in Uganda.
Wow. Thank you so much, Danielle. What an incredible encouragement it is to hear how God has used this message in your life and how God is using you to multiply this message in the lives of other women around you. And Dana, 20 years ago, I could not possibly have imagined how God would be using Revive Our Hearts on this kind of international scale. And I am so aware that there is no way we can take credit for this. It's only because of the faithfulness of God and the power of His transforming word at work in the lives of others. I could not be more grateful.
Well, Nancy, it's been such a joy to have a front row seat to see God working in women all over the world. He certainly has used your books and this wonderful program. And this week, we've been listening to a conversation between you and our friend Bob Lapine. Together, you've been reflecting on some of the many ways we've seen God's blessing on Revive Our Hearts over the past 20 years.
It's amazing, amazing. And Bob is familiar to many of our listeners because of his almost 30 years serving as co-host of Family Life Today. And from the very first days of Revive Our Hearts, in fact, even before there was a Revive Our Hearts, Bob has been a true friend, a coach. I call him kind of the midwife who helped give birth to Revive Our Hearts. And he's been a precious encourager to me and to the whole ministry of ROH.
Well, yesterday you and Bob talked about the very first True Woman Conference, True Woman 08. And there were seeds planted then and there that have produced ongoing international fruit in the years since. Here's Bob Lapine with more.
You mentioned 100 women from the Dominican Republic, and I know as that event came, you kind of looked at these registrations that were coming from the Dominican Republic going, who are these?
Well, they showed up a day early because they wanted to help us stuff tote bags. And they're like, these Dominicans had a lot of energy. They had traveled a long time, and they were, but you could not get them so tired out that they would stop. They were so thrilled to be there. And from that point, they began pestering us. Like that woman in Luke, the widow who went before this judge and kept knocking on the door and saying, I need help. I need you. And these women kept saying, we need this in Spanish. We need this in Latin America. What we didn't know was that God had been using some of our resources, including the Seeking Him book and I think maybe the True Woman book, some of our resources that they had translated into Spanish were sharing there in the Dominican Republic. And God was sending revival to the hearts of Dominican women and their husbands, their families, their churches. We didn't know all this was going on. And that set the course for what became more than a partnership. They became part of our family. Mm-hmm. And now what is happening through Aviva Nuestros Corazones, the Spanish language division outreach of Revive Our Hearts, this past year there were more website visits to our Spanish websites than there were to our English. Mm-hmm. And I remember when we first started getting around these Dominican women and I saw the passion and we visited there and we worked with them to see if they were really on the same page with us and had the shared DNA and the love for scripture and those boxes all checked off. But I remember coming back from that first trip to the DR and saying to our team, the day will come, I believe, when what is happening in Latin America through this Spanish ministry will eclipse what's happening through this ministry here in the United States. Because here in the United States, we have a lot of options.
Right.
There are a lot of gifted and good Bible teachers for women, a lot of resources. In Latin America, this was stepping into a vacuum where there was not much available in Spanish for women that was solidly biblical. And so that vacuum just whoosh.
Yeah.
They have taken it. They've produced a devotional Bible in Spanish with their own authors contributing the devotionals to that. They're a fabulous team. And now God is doing what we've seen happen in Spanish and in Latin America. We are seeing early stages of similar things happening in multiple other languages around the world as people are so hungry. Women are raising their hands. Can we have this? Can we have this? We want this. They're translating these resources. They're starting their own podcasts. And we're doing what we can to encourage them, to resource them, to pray for them, to lift up their hands. But we don't speak Farsi or Italian or
Afrikaans.
And in these languages, they're taking the ball and they're running with it.
In fact, we've compiled audio from Revive Our Hearts in other languages. This is what Nancy sounds like in Tsonga, spoken in Southern Africa.
Mulauri, loko hi ringeta ku lawula swinene hi ta hetelela hi thyiwe mavito lawa ya pfumalaka nkateko.
And you probably recognize Spanish.
La mujer que sana en su fe tiene un alto grado de confianza en Dios y en su palabra. Ella sabe que se puede confiar en Dios.
And its close cousin, Portuguese.
De todos os problemas que você enfrentará. Deus nos deu o seu livro e ele é um professor sábio e amoroso.
Here's Revive Our Hearts in Italian.
Quando parlo con persone che sono state ferite, le incoraggio a fare una lista dei torti subiti, insieme al modo in cui hanno risposto.
In the language of the Persians, Farsi.
که آیا این چیزهای عجیبی که درباره حکمت، ثروت و جلال و شکوه سلیمان شنیده بود، واقعا حقیقت داره یا نه؟
And of course, French.
J'espère que l'histoire de Denise va pouvoir vous encourager. Peut-être que dans votre entourage sont peut-être que le Seigneur va vous conduire précisément vers cette jeune femme.
What a blessing to have an international outreach. Oh. Nancy points out it's not something we've intentionally set out to do, but as others are reaching out to us,
they're saying, this is the message we need, calling women to revival, biblical womanhood, to be women of the word, women who exhibit in our world the heart and spirit of Jesus, and who are passing the baton of faith to the next generation. And what a joy it is to see. We step back and say, 20 years seems like a long time, but in another way, it seems like such a short time, because it's God who's doing the multiplying. We're sowing, we're watering the word and the what that's been planted, but it's God who gives the increase, God who gives the harvest. You know, we sat in a board meeting, Bob, you remember this, maybe 2 or 3 years into Revive Our Hearts, and I remember the board asked me, come prepared to share what you could envision happening down the road through this ministry, because we wanted to make sure we were setting the sails and marking the course, and the board wanted to review this and give counsel and speak into it. And I remember preparing this, I don't know, it was maybe a 20 or 30 minute little presentation. I think there were some slides. I don't even know if we had PowerPoint back then, but we think we were past overhead projectors, but right. It was the early days. And I had sought the Lord and listened and talked to some of our staff, and I came not with a polished presentation, but just saying, these are the things that are on my heart. And as we look back, we've saved that presentation, those notes, and we've gone back to it many times over the years. We've refined it. We've developed it. There are ways of ministry today that didn't exist in those days. But it's interesting to see how the things that God put in our hearts back then that we could only envision by faith,
right,
God is doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And so we stand back and we say, Lord, the work is yours. We don't own this. We're not controlling it. It's your work for you to provide. You know, he provided financially in those early days, still every month, 1 month at a time, 1 year at a time. We're trusting God for now much bigger amounts of resources, funds and staff and ideas and opportunities. The opportunities are greater.
Yeah.
Exponentially than we ever could have imagined. The demand is greater than we ever could have imagined. And God keeps bringing people with like-minded hearts. And some of our listeners they've heard Dana Gresh and Aaron Davis and Leslie Bennett and the True Woman speakers, and then many behind the scenes who serve in amazing ways to make this all possible. And we say, Lord, what do you have ahead for this? We're having those kinds of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know, but we're trying to set our sails to be available, to be his servants, and to say, we're here for whatever you have. One of the things we're very eager for, and we're doing everything we can to encourage, is passing the baton to younger women who love the Lord, love his word, have been impacted by this message, are committed to living out biblical priorities for their lives, and they've demonstrated God's anointing, his hand on their lives. They've demonstrated gifts for ministering in various ways and providing opportunities for them to develop those gifts, to be mentored, to be coached, to have just opportunities to serve. You'll hear some of those people on our weekly Grounded video cast. You hear some of them as guests on Revive Our Hearts and blogging and writing articles that are appearing on our various websites. And what we're doing in English, we're also doing, or the leadership team in Spanish is doing there. They're developing some really gifted young women who are writing. They're not just translating our stuff to Spanish. They're doing that, but they're also producing a lot of original material in Spanish. I think this year they'll produce 60 programs for their podcast. And to know that they're solid, they're women of the word, they're faithful to the word. Wow. I sometimes say, if the Lord took me home today, I would die a happy woman, fulfilled, joyful, thankful, faith-filled, because we've seen God do so much. And it's not ever been a ministry that was limited to me, to what I could contribute, to what I could bring to it. I've worked hard. I've poured myself into it and slept on the floor, as they say. But it's never centered on me. It's always been centered on Christ and on His Word. And I know that when the day comes, whenever that is, that the Lord takes me home, maybe Revive Our Hearts' 30th anniversary or 40th anniversary, I have no idea where I'll be, if at all, other than heaven.
Right.
But it doesn't depend on me. It never has. It never will. And my hope is that as I've leaned hard into Christ and into His Word, that the women who are coming behind are going to do the same. And some of those women are going to do it way better than I ever dreamed of doing. They're going to be standing on my shoulders. And I'm going to be, as long as I'm here, I'm going to be standing. When it's my time to be on the sidelines, I'm going to be cheering for them. And in the meantime, this is not a retirement announcement. I'm committed to still working and serving and being available for whatever God...
A lot of projects still...
Yeah.
In the short term that you're investing in, we've been talking about some of those. As you look at the climate in our country, we see brush fires happening around the world as people are connecting with this ministry. In our own country, we can sometimes look at the horizon and go, are there still ears to hear?
Yeah.
And yet, from the beginning, you've described Revive Our Hearts as a remnant ministry.
Yeah.
Explain what you mean by that, and do you think that's more true today than it was 20 years ago?
These are hard days, for sure. So much about our message is countercultural, even within the church, sad to say. There are a lot today who really aren't focusing on or believing God for a movement of revival. There are many who reject or have cut corners with a biblical teaching on gender, on sexuality, on women and their calling within the church. And to stick to the word in those areas makes you something of a dinosaur, or, I mean, you can get canceled really easily today.
Right.
And even some of the platforms that we're depending on to house different parts of our ministry, we don't know how long we'll have those.
We don't know if your books will still be available online.
Exactly.
Different booksellers. Yeah.
Exactly. But we're going to be faithful to the word. And God's kingdom, it's always been the case. Jesus talks about this in the Gospels. The apostles talk about it. God doesn't choose and use the biggest and the brightest and the most flashy and the most spectacular. God takes small, unseen, simple things that are considered foolish by the world. And Jesus talked about how a mustard seed is like, it's tiny, it's inconsequential, and you'd never think, oh, here's something great going to come out of this. But it's sown, it's planted, and it's watered, and it's fertilized, and in time, in God's time and in God's way, it grows up into a great, magnificent tree that houses birds of the air and provides beauty and shade. And, you know, the outcome is God's to determine. And one of the things I dealt with early on was just saying, my goal for this is not to be famous. It's certainly not to be rich, but it's also not to have more likes or more, you know, in the early days, Christian radio went through a bit of some turmoil where they were like doing less Bible teaching and more music. And we went through some of that, lost some of our stations. And, you know, they're accountable to God for what they do. But I'm just saying, one of the things I said was, I want to be faithful to the truth.
Right.
If we don't have a ministry left, I want to be faithful to the truth. I'm not going to do this for human applause or for book sales or for, you know, getting the highest rankings or the most listeners. That's never been our objective. We want people to hear the message. We want to get it out there. But we don't measure success by how many receive it.
Yeah.
We measure success by how faithful we are in delivering it. And then we trust God with the outcome. I will say, however, that even though these are hard days, and there are many even within the church who seem to be much more marching to the drum of the world and its philosophies and its ways of thinking, and the path of those who love truth and are willing to sacrifice for it, it's not a huge band of people. I'm not saying that with any arrogance. I'm just saying Jesus said it would be that way.
Yeah.
But thank God there are those who do have ears to hear. We have one of our outreaches today, and one of the most flourishing and growing ones is an outreach to women's ministry leaders in local churches. Leslie Bennett, who heads that up, she loves the Lord. She loves His word. She loves prayer. She loves revival. She has served in the context of a local church. She's now leading and resourcing those women's ministry leaders. And I've been listening to a recent webinar series they've been having. And, you know, there are not millions of those women, but there's a growing number who say, I want to be faithful in the context of my local church, to be discipling the women God's put for me to care for, and to do it faithfully. And that doesn't get written up. People don't write, you know, big articles, or you don't have a press release about a woman who's doing that faithfully in a smallish local church or even a big local church. So what's the big deal? But that is a big deal, because those are the women who are doing the Titus 2 work, which Paul said to Titus in the context of the Roman Empire, where the church was being persecuted and there were false teachers and people were walking away from Christ. And what's Paul's plan? What did he say to Titus in this little embryonic church started there on the island of Crete? He says, tell the older women to teach the younger women how to love their husbands, to love their children, to be pure, to be kind. And you say, what kind of plan is that? That doesn't seem impressive. But it's God's plan. That's a mustard seed. And so there are women doing that.
I think back to the early days when we imagined what God might do.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 years later, I think we would all look and say, as He promised, He has done exceedingly abundantly beyond
yes.
what we imagined back then.
Yes.
So to try to think of what God might be going to do in the next 10 or 20 years— that's not wrong to do, but we just need to recognize God has mapped out where He's going. If you were to get to the 30th anniversary of Revive Our Hearts and look back on the last 10 years, now it's 2031. It's hard to even say those words, right? What would you hope the next 10 years? Is it the international expansion of Revive Our Hearts that God's put on your heart most passionately? Is it specific areas of ministry? What's the biggest burden on your heart?
Yeah, I don't know that I can limit it to one. The international certainly would be a big one. And that really taps into a sense I had as a teenage girl, where I felt like God put in my heart a burden for the nations. And interestingly, my co-host, Dana Gresh, had a similar perspective and experience when she was a teenage girl. Mm. And we didn't know this. We didn't know each other then. But both of us felt such a strong drawing from the Lord for the nations and for the Word of God to go through the nations and somehow to be a part of a work God would do in the nations. And that's not something you aspire to, or you go to a whiteboard and you say, how can I make this happen? There's been none of that. But it's beautiful to see that God is doing that, and that the nations, which now are reachable in a way they weren't before the advent of the internet,
yeah.
that there is outreach and effective, fruitful ministry taking place, even in parts of the world that are closed countries. What God is doing in the hearts of women in Iran and China. And I don't want to sound like we're the only ones having any impact there, because that's not true at all. But God is giving us opportunities to share the beauty and the riches of the gospel of Christ, and to encourage women who want to be faithful women of God in so many parts of the world. So I'm eager to see that continue. I can envision that global outreach becoming more robust, more fruitful. And again, we're not just saying, okay, we want to be big.
Right.
It's, Lord, You're worth every language and tribe and tongue and nation being able to know Jesus and worship Him. You are worthy of this. And so we see God doing that, and I believe we will see Him do much more of that. We also see God expanding the outreach of our ambassadors and our women's ministry leader outreaches. And this, to me, is really important in the United States, throughout Latin America, and in other parts of the world as well, that this is more the grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't people just listening to and reading my books and broadcasts. This is women in the context of the local church being equipped and trained and developed to serve the Lord in their context.
Life on life.
This is a biblical model. I can't disciple a woman who lives in Dubuque or Albany or Savannah or Mexico City, but women in her church can.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to be resourcing and equipping and mobilizing this army of women to be a grassroots task force that goes and does this work in their parts of the world. And then and we've referenced this, the equipping and training of younger women in ministry to serve the Lord in ways that are feasible in their season of life. Many of these women still are in the process of raising their own children. And so what their ministry looks like now will look different in 10 years. But in 10 years, some of those women will be empty nesters. They will have even greater opportunities as they're being seasoned and trained and developed in biblical thinking and a biblical philosophy of what it means to be a woman of God. So I want to encourage those women. We want to resource them. We want to mentor them so that they're going to be doing beyond Revive Our Hearts scope, doing the work of ministry in many different places and ways. And there are a number of projects that I'm working on and have in mind, and we've begun to talk about the devotional study Bible that I'm working on with the Christian Standard Bible and our friends at Lifeway Bibles. This is a big project for me for the next few years, and I'm very excited about that undertaking. And if I had a single contribution to make in my 60s to women in our churches and women who are impacted, to be able to offer a tool that gets them into the Word,
yes,
and takes them like a friend taking them by the hand and saying, let's walk through the Scripture together, I don't know of anything that would be a greater joy than doing a Bible like that. So that's a great privilege. There are other books that are on my heart. There are other events we're talking about, other recording projects. But when it comes down to it, what I long to see, Scripture talks about the glory of the Lord will cover the earth,
yeah,
as the waters cover the sea. That hardly seems possible today. It seems like there are a whole lot of other things from not the glory of the Lord, but the opposite way of thinking that are covering the earth today as the waters cover the sea.
Right.
We have so much evil, so much false teaching, just overwhelming flood of darkness in our world, and much of that flooding into, seeping under the doorstops, coming into our churches and into our Christian thinking. It's heartbreaking to me, but I believe that heaven rules.
Yes.
And I know that in the end, heaven wins. And that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So it has long been my longing, my desire, my efforts are given to this, that the glory of God would be seen in and through His people, that there'd be an army of women, men as well, but I'm speaking to the women, who will think biblically, who will love what God loves, who will have courage and faith and humility, who will be winsome, not just people who can batter others on social media, because truth can be, it's a powerful weapon, but it can also be dangerous if it's used in pride or not in godly ways. So women who are in their sphere of influence, wherever that is, whatever that looks like, they're representing the heart and the spirit of Jesus. They're reaching their neighbors. They're discipling their children. They're loving their elderly parents well. They're caring for the marginalized and the least vulnerable. And they're caring for babies in the womb and moms who are carrying those babies. And in a host of different ways, it'll look different for different women. But they're living out the beauty of the gospel as Christian women. And I have a special heart to challenge women who are in my generation, in the boomers, who are in the process of retiring. Many have retired in recent years, and many more will be in the next few years. And to have a window here of energy, and they've got experience, they've learned wisdom by the things they've done well and the mistakes they've made as well. And they have an opportunity, while they still have life and breath and strength, to influence and to use that influence for the sake of the gospel. So my appeal to this, there's 77 million boomers in this country, and that's a huge generation. But it breaks my heart to see so many just wanting to take it easy.
Yeah.
And to do what's, you know, like, I've paid my dues and now let somebody else do the hard work. And I get it. I feel that at moments myself. I get tired and it takes me more to bounce back today than it did 20 years ago when we started this ministry. And God has things for seasons of our lives. You know, the priests in the Old Testament retired at age 50, but they didn't go off the scene.
Right.
They were to still stay around and serve the Levites and the elders and the priests, and they had a role. It was a different role than when they were 30 or 40, but they still had a role. And that's what I want to say to those of us women who are in our 50s, 60s, 70s, even into our 80s, as long as God gives us breath, let's do what he gives us strength to do and not say, you know, it's time for somebody else to do all the hard work. Yes, there are women picking up the baton in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and that's a good thing, and we need to encourage them.
Yeah.
But we just still need to be available to pray for them. Our friend Vonette Bright was a beautiful illustration of this to me. And until she died in her 80s, she was earnestly encouraging the next generation, loving others well. She died 7 weeks after Robert and I got married, but she was cheering for us and praying for us and encouraging us during our courtship and was at our wedding to pray for us. And here was a woman who basically had a death sentence. She had a terminal illness, but there she was in her bright red outfit in her wheelchair saying, I want to pray for you. I want to cheer for you. I want to be a Vonette Bright, even if I'm doing it from a wheelchair at some point down the road. So with the goal of helping to encourage a climate that's conducive to the glory of God, filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's what I long for.
That's Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth expressing her desires for her own life and for the future ministry of Revive Our Hearts. And that kind of attitude only comes if we're willing to surrender our own ambitions and say, yes, Lord, to whatever his will is for our lives. Isn't that right, Nancy?
So true, Dana. And that two-word phrase, yes, Lord, has become such an important foundation in my own heart. I said this a few days ago, but I want to say it again now. My life verse is from Luke chapter 1, where we read Mary's response to the angel Gabriel when he told her that she was going to be the mother of Jesus, the Messiah. And she said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And I can just imagine her with her hands upraised, open palms, and in other words, she's saying, yes, Lord, to God's plan for her life, with all of its joys and sorrows, difficulties, and triumphs. Simply, yes, Lord.
I always love hearing you talk about Mary and those two simple words, yes, Lord. You know, that phrase, yes, Lord, is been something that's become sort of a treasure here at Revive Our Hearts these past 20 years. And I want to quickly let our listeners know that they can receive a beautifully designed, frameable 5x7 print that simply says, yes, Lord. It's our thank you to you for your gift of any amount to support the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. And we're packaging it along with the classic study by Nancy and Mary Cassian, True Woman 101. So both the Yes, Lord print and the 8-week Bible study, True Woman 101, are yours for a donation of any size this month. To give, just go to reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. Ask about the study and the print when you contact us with your donation. Again, the number is 1-800-569-5959. Well, Nancy, on behalf of our listeners, can I just take a moment and say thank you? Thank you for saying yes, Lord, to God's plan for your life. It's impacted my life. It's impacted everyone listening. The ripple effect has touched all of us deeply.
Oh, thank you so much, Dana. I'm greatly encouraged by those words. And let me just respond with this verse from Psalm 115, verse 1. It says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, because of your faithful love, because of your truth. So the glory doesn't go to me or to Revive Our Hearts or to any of us. All the glory goes to the Lord. He's the one who's been faithful, and we're so blessed and grateful to be lifting up his truth and sharing it with women all around the world.
So true, Nancy. And as we celebrate this birthday of your life, as well as the birthday of Revive Our Hearts, we are in one way saying thank you, Lord. So to that end, can I squeeze in one more birthday wish?
Oh, sure. That would be sweet. Thanks, Dana.
Heidi from Michigan called to leave you this precious message.
I have been touched and influenced by Nancy so many times over the past many years. I was so touched to hearing Nancy share throughout Robert's cancer journey with two different cancers, and just a reminder that heaven rules. And not only has Nancy just taught so well how to handle a situation like that, and that she's modeled how to live it out, and I had no idea, but I am now living that out.
Heidi says her husband has been diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic melanoma, and she reflected about a specific episode of Revive Our Hearts that especially ministered to her.
In June, my husband was having a PET scan, but I was able to find a quiet bench, and I started listening to the podcast from the day before.
Where there is fear, there is not faith. Where there is faith, fear will be dissolved.
I just sat there with my Bible open in the waiting room listening to Nancy's teaching on trusting God for the promised land.
You cannot walk by faith and live in fear. You cannot walk in fear and live by faith.
And so I acknowledge that this metastatic melanoma is just a huge giant in the land, but the Lord has used Nancy in such a profound way. And this specific podcast is just anchor my heart to God's word and to walk faith the next step, knowing that God is with me and His presence will go before me. And I just want to trust Him for that promised land. Well, thank you, Nancy, and I want to wish you a very happy birthday. I just pray that the Lord will crown you with His mercies and His tender loving kindnesses today and in the future, and just may you know how loved you are and just what a blessing you are to so many women. Thanks, Nancy.
Oh, Heidi, my heart just goes out to you as I've heard your testimony here. And I remember dreading that we might be hearing those words that Robert had metastatic melanoma just about a year ago. We're so thankful that wasn't the case, but I want to lift you up to the Lord as that's what you're facing today. And Lord, together we join in lifting up our friend Heidi to your throne of grace. She and her precious husband need you right now. They need your mercy. They need your grace. They need your strength. They need your help. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them, that you would remind them that you can be trusted to write their story. And I pray that through their journey, you would be glorified and they would be sanctified, and that all of this would result in great honor for your name. So we lift up our precious sister and pray your blessing on her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Oh, one of my favorite things about the Revive Our Hearts sisterhood across the world is that we truly do pray for each other. And if ever we needed to, it's now, because the headlines, they can cause some fear and despair. In fact, if you're tempted to look at current events with despair, you're going to love hearing next week's series here on Revive Our Hearts. Nancy will open up Psalm 37 and tell us how to have a calm heart in a troubled world. In fact, let me encourage you to grab your Bible over the weekend and just read through Psalm 37 so that the Lord might begin to prepare your heart for what God has put on Nancy's. I hope you'll join us next week for Revive Our Hearts. This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth, calling you to say yes, Lord, and experience greater freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.
At Revived